It's the Freedom Fiends Live. You already know what it is because I just told you. And it is July 6th. Man, it's already July. Where does the time go? I'm Nima Vedati. We've also got Michael W. Dean.
Broadcasting up, Michael live Dean? And worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural wild mountain west near Beast Lick, Wyoming. Wait, I guess I just disclosed my location. But, you know,
you did.
If you look on a map, Beast Lick isn't on there. So I guess it's still undisclosed.
Yeah, although one of our friends, Kyle Bennett, on Facebook said he found the secret underground lair of the Illuminati on Google Earth, and it was a coordinates a little bit outside of Lander, and there was this little manhole that looks, it has that symbol on it, you know, of the pyramid or something, with the eyeball.
Well, I said I found it too because we kept getting web traffic over and over and over from this thing that's a coordinate of like 0 degrees longitude and latitude. It's like where the prime meridian intersects with the equator. And if you look at a map there, there's literally nothing there. It's the ocean and there's nothing. I talked to some internet security experts who basically said that it's probably from somebody failing to enter any coordinates on setting up their server or something, and it defaults to zero. But
zero.
But yeah. I thought it was the secret underwater location of the central scrutinizer's underwater bunker.
It was C-Lab 2012.
Yeah.
Yeah, they would listen to us, man. They'd rock out with the fiends.
Rock out with their shark out.
Yeah, there you go. Speaking of rocking out with the fiends, I got my big boy mic.
You sound great, man. You sound great.
Do I?
Yeah. I think I dragged you a little. It was a little less kicking and screaming than usual. I talked you into getting this mic, and you, what is it? It's an RE2 320, right?
No,
Electro Voice?
320.
Yeah.
Electro Voice RE320. Yeah, it's giant, and the picture on the box looks kind of prurient, so I won't describe it. But yeah, it's a big mic. It's black. It's very nice looking, and it sounds great. It's got a giant pickup pattern, so I can talk far away and close to the mic, and it sounds pretty close to being the same.
Yeah,
close enough.
Yeah,
close enough for rock and roll.
Yeah, I've been singing the praises of the Electro Voice, but you know, we should get ads from Electro Voice. There you go. You know,
it's odd though. I've never heard an ad. It's so rare that I've heard an audio ad. I don't think ever for any microphone. What's up with that? Because microphones are used to make audio. You'd think they would do radio ads.
Microphones are like drugs. You know, Bill Hicks, a comedian we were talking about, was very fond of warring against the war on drugs. And one of his points was, you ever see ads for illegal drugs? Nope, you don't need them. If you have a good product, people come to you, and it's kind of the same.
It sells itself.
Yeah, it's kind of the same with audio gear. You know, it's kind of like drugs. We have gear acquisition syndrome, but I think we finally reached perfection with you getting this mic.
Oh, really?
And you know, liberals always say that we're two laws away from perfection. I think a lot of Republicans say that too now, but we always say we're one piece of gear or two pieces of gear away from perfection. And this week we got those two pieces. Yours was a $400 microphone, and mine was a $30 rug to hang on my wall.
Yes. Clap, clap, clap. I thought you said we were complete once you got the Knobtron 1.
Yeah. Well, that's the joke, is because you're never really complete. But we're closer to complete than we've ever been, and I think the fiends are probably sounding pretty darn good today.
I see. Yes. Speaking of laws making people safe, you sent me this crazy thing. It was like an old social studies book from 1969 called How Our Government Helps Us.
Yeah. I actually had this in, I was 5 years old in 69, but I had this when I was about eight, you know, like 3 years later. They handed this out. It was a booklet, and they handed it out in, you know, grade school. Ugh. And it kind of looks like Schoolhouse Rock without being campy at all. It kind of reminds me of the old Boy Scout book. The old Boy Scout book had a lot on civics. But at least the Boy Scout book had things about making weapons and survival and fire. And
useful information.
Yeah, not just here's why you should vote and where your taxes go. I'm really fond of that one picture of people from all walks of life, like, you know, construction worker, nurse, soldier, black people, white people. I guess those were the only two races in America back then, but in the 60s. But black people and white people all handing money to Uncle Sam. They're all holding their hand out with dollar bills.
No. Look at it closer. On the left, there's all the real working people. There's like a construction worker and a butcher and a businessman and a homemaker. They're all handing dollar bills to Uncle Sam. And then Uncle Sam, out of his other hand, is handing those bills to all the government workers.
Is it?
There's a government doctor. There's a soldier. There's a postman. There's a farmer. A farmer. How great is that? A government farmer. Yes.
The government takeover. Farms was one of the first things they got their hands on, and that was basically, you know, the government caused the Depression and then cured the Depression by printing a bunch of money and having a bunch of wars and having someone be president for 19 terms, I think it was. You know, who was it? The president just wouldn't leave.
You don't mean cured in the medical sense. You mean cured like put in a vat of salt to keep it the same.
Or cured in the sense that heroin addicts call, I think it's curo is the South American term for heroin. It means the cure. In other words, if you're going through heroin withdrawal, if you take heroin, it's the cure for your symptoms.
The cure is to pump more drugs.
Yeah, it's a cure for your symptoms, but it elongates your addiction and makes it longer and stronger. And that's what government money does.
It does, indeed. Yeah, man. But I was looking through this thing, and the top quote, and it's actually later in the book too, is, "As our country grows and changes, our government has more work to do and more laws to make." That's the worst part. More laws to make.
Yeah. The name of today's episode is A Sheep's Guide to How the Government Helps You. And I took one of the pictures from this and photoshopped it. I'm going to use it for the image today when we put this up after radio, when we put it up on the interwebs tonight. It was this picture of a boy like pointing a pointer stick at something that says levels of government, federal, state, county, city. And I replaced it with a sheep and put the pointing stick in his mouth. And the text, I left the text the same. It says, "We are proud of our government. The government makes laws for our city or town. Laws are made for our country, our state, and the whole United States. These laws help make our country a good place in which to live."
Yeah.
And that ain't true. That ain't true. I mean, there were enough laws, if you want to take it from a minarchist hat perspective, there were enough laws like 100 years ago to protect everybody that needed protecting. And every law that's been added since then has just done things like, you know, thrown farmers in prison for growing pigs. And that's something we're going to talk about as soon as Lou writes the blog post for it. He has on the street, man on the street interviews and information. And I think there's going to be an event for that Michigan farmer who's going to jail for now. And explain the pig thing. We haven't talked about the pig thing. The Department of Fish and Hogs of Michigan.
Right.
Yeah.
So from what I understand, the way it works is there's farmers out there that grow these pigs. The state says they're invasive species. So even though they're on farmers' land, the other thing here that's kind of the conflict is these farmers are kind of the natural farmers. They call them sometimes grass farmers. They're sort of the philosophy explained in Michael Pollan's book, The Omnivore's Dilemma. And so the concept is to have a farm to where it emulates nature so that it's not a factory farm. It's in the animals actually get more nutrients that way. So when you eat them, you get more nutrients. That's the concept. But the government says, no, these hogs are invasive species, and the government wants to take the hogs away from this farmer. Now, nobody in this transaction is upset except for the state. The farmer's perfectly happy with the situation. The people that buy the pork are perfectly happy with the situation. So why does there need to be an interloper? Just like in that picture we described of the people handing the money to Uncle Sam, Uncle Sam handing the money to the goons, there's no need for Uncle Sam to be there. People just hand the money directly to what they want.
Uncle Ham. Yeah.
Uncle Ham. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you know, there's an interesting crossover these days between kind of like hippie farmers, organic, back to the land hippie types, and gun-toting survivalists. There's a lot of crossover. Backwoods magazine that our friend Claire Wolf writes for is kind of the magazine of the intersection of that. But survival podcast, a lot of survivalist stuff has crossover with that. And I take that back to the 60s book, The Whole Earth Catalog, which I found in my sister's attic, in the attic after my sister went to college. She was much older than me. And I read it and I was like, wow, this book has stuff about computers. And we're talking like 1973. It had, you know, stuff about computers, guns, farming, building geodesic domes, living off the grid, getting out of the government's way, not being spied on. And these were hippies, man, but they were hippies who had, you know, the first hippie I met that I really liked was my sister's boyfriend, who was a returning Vietnam vet who had a rifle in the trunk of his car. He was a total, you know, total vegan, yoga doing, long-haired, bearded, looked like Jesus hippie, and he had a gun. And I thought that was cool. I was like, that's how people should live. And it kind of set my template. I have short hair and no beard.
Yeah.
I'm not a bearded weirdo like you, Nima.
Well, okay, so this kindergarten book, which is what it looks like, about what the government does to help you, it's another arm in the government's, you know, bag, I guess, on the government's body that slaps you across your face with its statism. But it's kind of the way they use language to basically cloud what they're really doing. Sheldon Richman wrote a great article called Airbrushing Barbarity. And that's what he calls all these terms that people use. So when you turn on Fox News, you see somebody on TV and they talk about, these are the words they use: Social Security, National Security, Border Security, Zoning, Licensing, Intellectual Property, Deficit Spending. They're all terms that sound like they're scientific terms that social scientists use, and they're not really value-laden because they take away the actual morality behind them, that they're amoral, not even immoral. But by taking that away, people don't realize the violence that's inherent in any of these state actions. So zoning, right? If you build the wrong building on a piece of land, people will come out at you with guns, or they'll try to take your money. That's very immoral. That's not even amoral. That's a value. You know, the government is taking the value, a negative value. They're taking away your property. They're taking away your money, and they're pointing guns at you to do it.
Read this description of conspiracy theories that I sent you. It's pretty funny because to us it sounds like the definition of government and what government does. But go ahead.
Does. Catherine K. Young states, "The fact remains, however, that not all conspiracies are imagined by paranoids. Historians show that every real conspiracy has had at least four characteristic features. Groups, not isolated individuals. Illegal or sinister aims, not ones that would benefit society as a whole. Orchestrated acts, not a series of spontaneous and haphazard ones. And secret planning, not public discussion." Yeah, I'm pretty sure the modern state fits all of those criteria, doesn't it?
The government is a conspiracy theory. And we like to point out often on The Fiends, we're not bashing the United States federal government. We're saying this about all governments. All states do the same things. They can be done better by the market, more ethically by the market. And yeah, man, it just gets in the way. It's immoral. The state. We'll be back on The Fiends now.
We're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts. 5 centuries after the first spaceflight, the stars remain beyond humanity's reach. So a mad scientist enlists the aid of a young technician, Nicole Orem, as they travel through the solar system, encountering the hazards of space and human treachery. Quantum Vibe, Volume 1, Nicole, collects the first 400 strips of the epic sci-fi webcomic series, available now from the major online bookstores or direct from BigHeadPress.com.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed,
buy sheep for sheep on sheep,
and 2 designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
A science fiction comic adventure from Big Head Press. Quantum Vibe.
It's year 2523. There are colonies on Venus, Mars, and Mercury. People travel in bubbles, fly at hyperspeed, with brain implants and artificial gravity.
A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. Quantum Vibe.
There's a robot girl and zany creatures made with genetically engineered features and corpses.
clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. QuantumVibe.com.
Yow.
Yep, yow. Yep.
Holla, holla.
Holla, 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 holla.
It's
we were talking
fiends.
About Public Enemy over the break, so yeah, sorry. We got caught up in our discussion of Professor Griff and Chuck D,
yow.
Terminator X, and Flava Flav. But,
I don't know what that is. I'm old.
Yes, you do.
I don't
you
know what
do
that
too.
Is. You barely know. I know more what that is than you do.
I was forgot listening. About Professor Griff. I was just thinking of Public Enemy as Chuck D and Flav and Terminator X. But I guess yeah. the first time I really saw it, you know, yeah. It was when they were later on in their Public Enemy-ness.
Their militant look. I like their look.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Although Flava Flav's kind of lame now. He got caught up in that whole reality show stuff. there was a, what was it? It was a, like a reality show on VH1 about where couples go to like a camp and they do like relationship counseling.
Ew.
And Flava Flav was on there. And I was like, really, Flav? That's what you're doing now? You're going and talking
man.
About your girl problems on national TV.
He's kind of funny though, man. He's
he is.
He's
he
a
is.
Joke, but he's good at it. Yeah.
That's true. That's true.
But
he's
I knew him when. I like that group back when, man, you should go back. Anybody should go back and listen to the song She Watched Channel Zero, which is one of their lesser known songs. But, you know, this is from like 1981, and it's talking about how television just lies. We call it the Lio Vision.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
we're going to talk a little bit more about the Lio Vision. You got a good segue. We practiced this segue, and I'm pointing out your segue. Go ahead with
okay.
your segue.
Well, we were talking about Sheldon Richman's article called Airbrushing Barbarity, where he shows that all these terms like public policy and foreign policy, they're just obfuscations. I don't think I pronounced that correctly. They're confusing the issue, man. They try to make it seem that these are just scientific terms that grown-ups talk about in their suits and ties in front of microphones and not real things where real people die and get stolen from and get guns pointed at them. And a good example is this recent kerfuffle where the Bolivian president, Evo Morales, his plane was forced down. And now I'm going to read you two top paragraphs in from two different news outlets about this article. The first one is from Fox News. It goes, South America's leftist leaders rallied to support Bolivian President Evo Morales after his plane was rerouted amid suspicions that NSA leaker Edward Snowden was on board and demanded an apology from France, Italy, Portugal, and Spain. So it makes that paragraph makes it look like Evo Morales is just a crybaby because he had to face some kind of airline delay.
Yeah,
that's not what happened.
And to the average Fox News reader, they noticed they used the word leftist.
Yes.
Like, these bad people complained because they had to have a layover in the airport. That's what it says,
yeah.
the average.
Yeah.
But that's not really the truth of what happened. Read what happened.
No, it's not. And not only that, but it's a good example of how, quote, unbiased reporting is really not. Because when you take something that is so horrible and you just talk about it in these generic terms, it is biased in the sense that it's not portraying reality. It's biased in the sense that, hey, this isn't a big deal. The plane was just rerouted. So now John Pilger from The Guardian,
Yay.
He wasn't going to let it go like that. He says, he starts off with, imagine the aircraft of the president of France being forced down in Latin America on, quote, suspicion that it was carrying a political refugee to safety. And not just any refugee, but someone who has provided the people of the world with proof of criminal activity on an epic scale. So he does that thing where he says, hey, what if it happened to a Western country? You know?
Oh, that'd
what
be war, the man. That'd be air piracy. They nailed it, calling it that.
Yeah, exactly. And not only – he goes on to say that not only the forcing down of Bolivian President Evo Morales' plane because it was denied airspace by France, Spain, and Portugal was followed by a 14-hour confinement while Austrian officials demanded to inspect his aircraft for Edward Snowden. And Pilger goes on to call it an act of air piracy and state terrorism, a metaphor for the gangsterism that now rules the world and the cowardice and hypocrisy of bystanders who dare not speak its name.
Imagine if like Iran tried to or North Korea tried to force down Air Force One and detained it for 14 hours.
Right.
It would come close to starting a war or it would start one. And
yeah.
and Fox News is passing this off like, oh, America did it. It's okay. It's cool. It was, you know, and they
not
complained. Only that. Those leftists complained.
Yeah. Can you believe the gall? They got upset when the empire did something to their president. Now, here's the other thing, man. how much of a stooge are all these European countries
to
for
do
just,
it? Yeah.
Yeah. I was listening to Scott Horton the other day and he was like complaining about Barack Obama acting like he's not powerful enough to close Guantanamo. He's powerful enough to get the presidents of all those European countries to take down a plane of another president.
Well, hey, you know, we saved their butt. We saved France's butt back in World War II. And I've heard some comedians say, yeah, but, you know, France saved our butt. If it weren't for France, we'd all be speaking Apache.
Yeah, there was the French and Indian Wars. They were also a big reason that the Revolutionary War wasn't won by the British. They provided lots of support to the American revolutionaries.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a real close relationship. What do you think the Statue of Liberty came from? That was a gift of goodwill from our good allies, the French.
Yeah, now French are the brunt of jokes for Americans. Like, oh, Bobby said something in French.
All right. France we'll be is back awesome. With more fiends.
France is awesome. I've been there. People who say it's not have not been there.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support only a phone call away 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
Yo, it's the Freedom Fiends live. We are back. Thanks for sticking with us. I'm Nima Vidotti. We've also got Michael W. Dean out in his windowless bunker. How you doing, Mr. Dean?
Holla.
Holla, 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 holla. So, yeah, first order of business. My wife just took me to task. People who are of the progressive liberal status mindset, I'm not supposed to call them lefties because my wife's left-handed and she thinks it gives people who are left-handed a bad name.
Yeah. And, you know, actually the term left-wing and right-wing is French
it's
in
French.
Origin.
Yes.
Explain why.
Yes, it is. Well, wasn't that the breakdown of their legislative body during the French Revolution, or was it right pre-French Revolution? I don't remember, man. I'm not good on the French Revolution.
Yeah,
history,
the square. Well, the square
it.
People that wanted to steal a bunch of money to prevent naked art and keep going to war had to sit on the right side of the room, and the people that wanted to steal money and give it away to everybody sat on the left side of the room.
Ah, of course. That's it. Yes, yes.
And the people who wanted to steal money and give it away to everybody and wanted to look at naked paintings, yes.
Sat in the middle.
No, well, that's everybody in France. Even the conservatives in France are prurient. I mean, that's French. And, you know, we're not defending lefties and we're not defending governments of European countries. But we're just...
Well, hold on. You made the mistake again. We're not defending liberal progressive statists.
You're going to have to put a little, like, shock collar on me, man.
LPSs. Yes.
I'm so entrenched in saying lefty.
Although, Travis in the chat room says he's left-handed too, but it doesn't bother him. But it bothers my wife, and she's pregnant, so back off.
Yes. You and your conservative family... that you're building.
Ah, yes. This is my family values radio show.
Yeah.
My family value is I'm going to make some money and the state should stop taking it from me so I can feed my kids, man. I mean, come on, man. Isn't that the biggest family value is making sure your kids have dinner on the table? And hey, they're going to have more dinners if the state stops taking my money from me.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, so we were talking about free speech and things and the differences in countries. You know, it's kind of interesting. The Fiends, if we were British, we would never, ever, ever get on commercial radio in England. They don't. That's one thing about America. They still have.
Do they have a real commercial radio? I thought they had state-run radio. Like
yeah,
the
that's
Lupe
the thing.
Song.
Yeah, they actually have pretty good state-run radio. BBC makes great TV, great radio, but yeah, it's state-run. There's no competition. It's really weird, the differences in free speech between countries. Literally, America is the only country that has things like Rush Limbaugh and Hannity and then, you know, right-wing stuff and libertarian stuff like The Fiends and Free Talk Live and things, weirdo, cool things like Alex Jones. All of that would be illegal most of the world. Or if it weren't illegal, the market wouldn't let it happen. It just would not be on commercial radio. You can't criticize the government to that level. However, in England, a government-produced BBC show, House of Cards, had a member of parliament, you know, basically a congressman, who's killing people to become the president, to become the prime minister. I mean, and they joke about that. You probably
were there good guys too? Were there good members of parliament in the show? Like, because I think that that's a trope too, is to have, you can have bad and corrupt congressmen or legislators or executive branch people, and you can show them on TV, but then you have good guys, and the good guys win in the end. And in the end, it's just further statism, because it's like, yeah, there's bad ones every now and then. That way, when there's a real life,
not really. Not really. In the British version of that, they were pretty much all shown as self-serving and just out to get what they could for themselves and all doing backdoor deals. There's an American version of that. It's not on network TV. It's on Netflix, but it was produced like TV. It was great. Yeah. Speaking of stuff, there's a show called Carlos that was produced by Canal Plus, which is a French TV organization. It's a TV miniseries about Carlos the Jackal. I'm going to assign that. We're not going to discuss it tomorrow because it's a 5.5 hour or 6 hour miniseries, but it is great.
Wow.
Everyone should go watch it. Carlos, the miniseries. It's on streaming for Netflix. It's really well produced. Those French, they produce stuff well. It's most of it's in English, but it's got some subtitles. If that's difficult for you and you're like, I don't do that, then skip it. But, you know, if you want to have some understanding of the geopolitical situation in the Middle East, first of all, it didn't start on September 11th, 2001.
Right.
It literally goes back to Abraham had two sons, but a lot of it was in the 70s. There was a worldwide Marxist youth movement of blowing stuff up, mm-hmm. which is also good proof of, you know, killing leaders doesn't change a thing. And we say that to all the gun strokers and bayonet polishers. We have guns. We like guns. We like rifles. We like riflemanship. But you ain't going to shoot your way out of this. You're going to think your way out of this. And that's our main thing here. But, you know, if you think you can shoot your way out of this, people tried blowing everything up in the 60s and 70s all over the world, you know, for Marxism. And I guess the American patriot types think, well, but we have God on our side and the Constitution. First of all, you should only have the Declaration on your side, because it's the only government document that was before a government, and it's good, and it's not setting up a government. It's saying why you don't need a government. But you're not going to shoot your way to liberty. It ain't going to happen. They'll just drone you. There'd be 1,000 Ruby Ridges. And looking at history, even recent history, from the 60s and 70s, I mean, the RAF in Germany, you know, Carlos the Jackal and his people in the Middle East and doing things to and for people from the Middle East. I mean, it didn't lead to less government. It led to more global government. So you ain't going to shoot your way out of this one, man. You got to think your way out. But go watch Carlos the miniseries on,
If everybody believed in liberty and if everybody knew the true nature of the state, you wouldn't even need to shoot your way out of anything. That would be it. People would just stop enabling the government. It's that old it's not a story, but it's an image of how do you stop a tyrant from standing? You just take the legs. You stop supporting him. You take the legs out from under him. They're standing on top of us right now. Just got to get out of the way.
Yeah, you got to do the mental judo and just roll out of the way of the bigger guy and let him collapse under his own weight.
Exactly. And as far as the Constitution on their side, I mean, how true is that? The Constitution enables the government. The government, in the end, gets to interpret the Constitution. They're the ones who get to decide who the winner of the conflict is, and the people accept that. And that's the main thing, is that the people accept it. Even tyrannical dictatorships rest on the consent of the governed, because if everybody just withdrew their consent, then there'd be nobody to follow orders.
Yeah, and with that, I want to tease an interview we're having tomorrow. The first hour tomorrow is an interview with David Kadria, who, along with Mike V. Vandebaugh, who we interviewed last week, those two were the guys who broke the Fast and Furious scandal. And he's a lot more than that. I mean, he's done other things, too. So we're going to interview David Kadria tomorrow in the first hour. So back to free speech. You know, in England, there's two daily main papers. One is The Guardian, which is great. Yes. We just read from it. I mean, that's where they broke the Snowden scandal. And then there's the Daily Mail, which is kind of like the weekly world news.
You're right.
My movie, Hubert Selby Jr., It'll Be Better Tomorrow, the movie I did that's narrated by Robert Downey Jr., which you can watch on Netflix or on Hulu, or you can order the DVD on Amazon. So, Hubert Selby Jr., It'll Be Better Tomorrow. It's a true documentary about the writer who wrote Last Exit to Brooklyn and Requiem for a Dream, among other books. They were turned into great movies. Hollywood did those two right. They rarely do. But we interviewed the directors of both of them. And we interviewed the publishers in England who published Last Exit to Brooklyn in 1966, a year or two after it came out in America. And it was the subject of an obscenity trial. And it wasn't a prurient book. But it had stuff of like real life in street poor down and out Brooklyn. And it was shocking in England. And there was a trial and they actually won it. The publishers won it. And it was a landmark case for free speech in England. And Billy Graham, who's a hero to many Americans and probably some of our listeners, got this case rolling. He wanted to outlaw literature that had cuss words in it and, you know, weird situations. But it was literature. Uh-huh. It wasn't porn. Actually, right. There's a lot of sex in Last Exit Brooklyn, but none of it's sexy, man. It's all really scary, street level, murderous, you know, how it is some places and in some worlds. Mm-hmm. In the Brooklyn of the mind. And there's an interview with these two publishers. It's funny because the whole movie is like guys from Brooklyn that knew him, and it's all like, yeah, no, I can't even do a Brooklyn accent. But then there's this section in the middle for 8 minutes where it, or 10 minutes where it goes, all of a sudden it's like, and then the trial commenced. And it's like guys from Britain who are very well, men of letters from Britain. And he says that, you know, it was a working class jury. They didn't understand the literature. They were forced to read the book Last Exit to Brooklyn. They kept asking, what does this word mean? What does that word mean? And the publisher said, and you can tell a lot about the juror by what they're reading. And most of them were carrying the Daily Mail. There was one juror who was reading The Guardian. I expect that he held up the discussions for quite some time.
Right.
Yeah. He was probably the one angry man who kept Selby's book from getting outlawed, probably.
There you go. Well, in England, do they have to have a jury of their peers? Is that language in their law? Because how are they your peers if they can't even read your book that you wrote?
Although they were I don't know if they have that, but it was probably the people who were complaining about not understanding it were probably more Selby's peers, or at least the peers of the people in the book, than the intellectual with The Guardian, or the guy who could read and had The Guardian.
Yeah, I suppose. So.
Yeah, but the Fiends would be outlawed in England or just not put on the air anywhere. But it's interesting. There's different kinds of free speech. It's not just a line in the sand or a word in the law. You know, it's what's actually, you know, there's the de jure and then there's what's in action and what's in law. And in America, we have free speech in the basis of the first part of our laws, of our basis of laws, the First Amendment. Mm-hmm. But, you know, then you do something like Snowden and they want to pull airplanes out of the sky like magic hands to try to stop him. So that's not free speech.
Now, okay, does Snowden help this whole thing come to a head? Is Snowden a good thing for people who love liberty?
Yeah.
Yes, I mean, I kind
absolutely.
Of... I wonder, and I'm not really in tune to the statist blogosphere or what they're saying. What are the comments like? What is Fox News saying? Is it the consensus on TV that Snowden is a spy? Or are people who are anti the establishment spying on all of us winning the intellectual
weird.
Battle?
It's kind of weird because Fox News usually sides with the side of the state. You know, like, I think that they hate Julian Assange, but they kind of like Snowden because, or at least that one guy, Shepard Smith, kind of like Snowden because, I mean, they have to have some semblance of being journalists to be on TV and present themselves as journalists. Uh-huh. And they're not. MSNBC is not. CNN is not. They're all tools of the state. But, you know, it's kind of like how... you know, my band Bomb was kicked off of Warner Brothers for something. And then at the same time, they were standing behind Ice-T with his Cop Killer record because they said, we like free speech, and, you know, pretended to. So they had to. You have to. But we'll come back. after we go to the market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Inoculation from indoctrination.
Since time began, tyrants have taken aim at personal liberties. Now there's a movie that aims back.
The government has no more right to tell us what to put in our bodies than they have to take our guns or tell us what books we can read.
Six drug police were eaten by bears while raiding a marijuana farm.
On your knees, you dirty hippies!
Jesus.
On your knees!
What's the problem, officer?
Today, many cops who enforce pot laws do so only because it provides them with cushy jobs, good benefits, and a chance to push people around.
I was an undercover narcotics officer. The drug war is nothing but a farce.
The Second Amendment says you gotta keep you and your gat intact.
Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. A film by Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadavi.
DVD available now at gunsandweed.com or on Amazon. That's gunsandweed.com. Makes the perfect gift. Remember, that's gunsandweed.com.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Freedom, 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 freedom. Yo, Fiends. It's the Freedom Fiends. That's Fiends. What it is. This is Nima Vadadi out here in Austin, Texas, taking a break from my cable guy work to do a live radio show with Michael W. Dean out there in Wyoming. How you doing, man?
I'm mellow. I'm eating some antelope jerky and smoking bison hair.
Oh yeah, it's some good red hair.
Yeah, the red hair is the best bison hair to smoke.
Nice. Yeah. Good for you. So yeah, man, your dad called you.
My dad often calls me. My dad called me on, you know, there's a joke in The Simpsons where they go to the beach for the week for July 4th. And Lisa makes new friends, or actually makes her first friends, I think. And
oh, I remember that.
You know, they're like, what? One of them says, we don't celebrate July 4th. My mom's French. And the other one says, my dad woke me up at dawn to take a loyalty oath.
Yep, I remember that. Yeah. So your dad called you at dawn on July 4th to make you take a loyalty oath?
No, to give me his loyalty oath, basically. He said, it was kind of dire, man. He left a message. I called him back later, but he said, hey, Michael, it's your dad. I just wanted to wish you a happy America's birthday. It may be our last. Which was, you know, I mean, I could see how he could think it's heading that way, and I kind of agree in a way, but I also think that won't happen. Like, I think if Pelosi becomes president or what's-her-name, Clinton becomes president, I don't think they're going to outlaw July 4th. I think they're still going to celebrate it. They'll just wrap their own values around it, because people are conditioned to believe in that kind of statism and think it's correct and be meh when they hear it. And we have said before that that kind of patriotism is an enemy of liberty, because it makes people believe my country right or wrong, which basically says, hey, it's okay they're blowing up kids. It's okay that they're going to steal all our money and make us buy health care the way they want. It's okay that they're spying on us all the time. When you're patriotic, you are saying that's all okay. So I don't think they'll get rid of July 4th when it's a full-on Marxist country. I think they'll still celebrate it, and it'll just be a Marxist celebration.
It'll just be co-opted. Yeah, exactly. I got a thing on my Facebook that says July 4th park rules. It's a sign at a park. No generators, no tents. Police will be conducting searches of bags and coolers for reasons of public safety. No alcoholic beverage, no personal fireworks, including novelty fireworks and sparklers, no dogs or pets. Skate park and tennis court will be closed. Notice, the entire park is under video surveillance.
Yeah, and people were saying that was a Photoshop fake, but it could be real. It's not a Photoshop fake, because Claire Wolf actually searched some terms on that, and as she said, unless somebody faked a whole boring municipal town website of some town. It's real because those are all on, I forget what town it is. I think it's in Massachusetts, but
yeah,
the cradle of American liberty, ironically.
Reminds me of a sign at the Riverton Public Works Department. When I was a reporter there, I remember I went and shot some video. There was a sign that said, Public Works Department, no public access.
You know, there was a sign in the 60s, signs, signs everywhere, a sign, blocking out the scenery, raking my mind, do this, don't do that, can't you read the sign? It was a big hit, and it was, you know, I liked it. It was true. It was like signs do try to do stuff, but that sign, that song had the issue of conflating public signs as bad with private property signs as bad, which private property signs are not bad. You can put whatever rules you want on your own land or should be able to.
Yep.
And also, I don't know, I'd be willing to bet that whoever wrote that song probably voted a lot and probably voted for Obama. So I don't know, just because he's a long-haired singer from the 60s. I think it was James Taylor, wasn't it? Who knows?
Beats me.
Yeah.
Sound
well,
like
no,
him.
Beats him. James Taylor, the wife-beating heroin addict, hippie, mellow hippie. Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
Okay.
But
well,
I'll
you probably know him.
It.
He was on The Simpsons. He was on the where they went in the space shuttle. That's how you'd know it. So yeah. Speaking of things that are will be faked and co-opted, there's a rumor that this video that Adam Kokesh made where he open carried in D.C. may be faked. And we don't have an opinion on it, but we're going to talk about it a little bit. Describe the video and what led up to it, first of all.
Well, it's weird because it's from a YouTube channel that says Adam Kokesh, so I assume it's his YouTube channel.
It is him.
Channel.
It's him. He tweeted it, too.
It's a 20 to 30 second clip of him loading up shotgun shells into his shotgun, making sure they're there and loaded. And as he loads each one, I guess he was trying to time it to where it punctuated the sentence, but he kind of gets the timing wrong. But he basically says, this is the new American Revolution. We'll see you next Independence Day. So I don't really know where he's going for that, even if it's real.
It sounds like a declaration of war, and he's loading the weapon. But who knows, man? We'll talk more when we come back on The Fiends about whether or not that may have not been faked or not, maybe not.
Yes. Somebody did a YouTube saying, hey, this is obviously fake. Any video editor would understand that.
I'm a video editor.
I'll tell you why he's
Nima's
saying
a video
that.
Editor.
Yeah, I'm a video editor, too. Yeah. I was a professional TV video editor for 4 years.
We'll give our expert opinion. We will testify as experts.
When we get back.
In the court of
opinion.
When we get back. In the court of opinion. In the court of opinion.
Need to talk to people in a secure manner? Liberty Private Network sells phones that will work over any good internet connection and give you military-grade encryption for calls that cannot be tapped. Great for lawyers and clients, business people with trade secrets, or just ordinary folk who don't want their love talk spied on by some scumbag from the central scrutinizer. Call 516-TLK-SAFE on your non-secure phone and tell them the Freedom Fiends sent you. That's 516-TLK-SAFE.
Ugh, I'm so sick of looking at Steve's wedding pics, and I'm all out of passive-aggressive comments. What else am I supposed to do at work all day?
Sick of stalking your ex on Facebook?
Yeah!
Are you all out of cute cats and autocorrect mishaps to Lolat?
Duh!
Freedom Fiends to the rescue! The Fiends now have a blog. Read all about the latest tyranny today. Dream about lip pair. Laugh while Western civilization collapses. Just click on the cat icon to the right of freedomfiends.com. Freedom Fiends blog. Read it!
It is Freedom Fiends Live. It is our live Saturday show, July 6th. I am Nima Vidati. We've also got Michael W. Dean out there in Beast Lake, Wyoming. What to do,
the
Mr.
W,
Dean?
The W stands for prurient. It's a French pronunciation.
Oh, does it?
Yes.
Ah, I see.
Prurient.
This,
Michael
the
silent
W.
Dean.
Yes. War begins with the W.
That's a joke from what is it? Something about newspapers.
It's Ali G doing an interview with a newspaper man. And he's like, well, how come to sell papers you don't do like a headline that says war begins? And then after the first page, with a W.
Yeah. Yeah. It's actually illegal. It's actually an FCC rule that you can't broadcast false information, although it's not a law. It's an FCC rule. And I've heard progressives say that that like all the right-wing pundits should be kicked off the air for violating that rule. But, you know,
they should all be kicked off too.
Yeah.
Those stinky progressives.
No, man. Radio should be a free-for-all with no licensing.
Yeah.
Whoever has the most powerful transmitter wins. I don't know if that'd work. I don't know if that'd work. I don't know how it would be arranged in LibPair in the lack of government intervention, but I do have an idea, and one of my ideas is that without the government stifling things changing, I think you could probably get about 1 million channels on the FM band and the AM band instead of, you know, a dozen or two dozen.
Why do you think that is? Is a lot of the frequency taken up by military purposes?
No, because
supposed national defense purposes?
A lot of it is taken up by rules requiring that frequencies be a certain number of microhertz, millihertz apart to allow for buffering. But, you know, technology's gotten so good that with digital transmission especially, you could just fit a lot more in there. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's kind of, if you take the opposite approach of this government propaganda children's book we've been making fun of all show, where it says, as the country grows, our government has more laws to make. No, the market has more problems to solve, which means it has more money to make.
You know, I want to go back to the market for a second here. Do you enjoy string cheese, Nima?
Indeed, I do. My wife enjoys it especially. It's one of her favorite pregnancy snacks.
Oh, so I eat like a pregnant woman. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying.
You eat like a pregnant lady, Michael. But actually, yeah, I enjoyed some string cheese during the break because it's something I can eat very quickly and doesn't crunch and doesn't gum up my teeth. And so go to the market and buy yourself some string cheese. Now, I'm not saying any particular brand, just, and it's not the Dairy Council telling me this because I'm not even sure there is any dairy in string cheese, but I like string cheese. All right, let's go back to our discussion.
Cheese made from strings. Yes, yeah. They compress them down and cheesify them.
Yes.
Delicious.
And I hoard precious metals like neolibium and mobilini. I need to know how to pronounce those before I make that joke. Yeah, microphone alloy metals that are used in the magnets. That's, you know, basically I'm just saying I should be hoarding gold and silver, but I spent all my money on lead and precious weird metals no one's heard of that are used in the magnets of expensive microphones. Because, I hoarded all my money into microphone gear, and that probably won't feed my family when the satellites are turned off by the government to prevent free speech.
I am looking at my collection of microphone boxes because I have a shelf with all my mics on them.
Yes.
It's beautiful. Display case of the Fiend's progression to better and better microphones.
Yeah, and I think we're going to send this episode to the Electro Voice Corporation and try to get them as a sponsor because, you know, those things do sell themselves, but in today's world where everybody has a show or wants to, and they should go to our other website, Creamy Radio Audio, that tells you how to do everything we do. But in this world where everybody's got a show and you can get on the internet and do radio, you know, most of it sounds like crap, and it could sound a lot better if people buy better stuff. So
it's true.
The EV Corporation should pay us.
It would be easy because you could just reuse the pull-up diapers jingle. It'd be, Mommy, wow, I'm a big boy now, because you got your new big boy microphone.
I don't know if that would really be a selling point to a publicly traded corporation. But
probably not. Yeah. All right, fair enough.
Yeah,
but it is. So
let's talk about Adam Kokesh, a guy who who has had microphone problems in the past. You know, for someone that seems to have a bunch of money and seems to do everything pretty well that he does, his big boy condenser mic doesn't always sound good. And for a while, I think he had it in backwards or something. It didn't sound good, man. And people were complaining about it and saying they were going to boycott him. There was actually a Facebook page, Boycott Adam Kokesh Until He Fixes His Microphone. And it had it had one like forever. That was back when I was on CIA.
Did you make the post?
No, I did not, man. That's why it was so funny. It was something I would have come up with, but someone else did. A bigger issue than his microphone incontinence that he occasionally suffers is he was going to do this march where he was going to save America by getting 1,000 armed men, the 1,000 man or million man march or whatever, the 1,000 rifleman march. He was going to get a bunch of rifle people to show up at DC. And I don't know if the government took him aside and said, hey, we'll drone you, don't do this, or if what happened, or, you know, some people said he's a government plant. I don't believe that. for a second. Yeah. But there was a lot of talk, including from our friend Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker, of whether this is a good idea or not. And it seemed like maybe it wasn't a very good idea for Liberty and would probably lead to people getting shot and we don't know, and just a bunch of arrests that wouldn't help anything. So he called off the march. But then, surprise, surprise, July 4th, he just, without discussing it ahead of time, posted a video of him, what appears to be him, open carrying and loading a shotgun somewhere in downtown D.C. And
it went from a 1,000-man march to a 1-man stand.
There you go. And it was a pretty bold stand. There was a lot of theater in it. There was a lot of punctuation of strong statements while cocking a shotgun, while loading the shotgun, and... it's a really short little video. It's like, I don't know, 45 seconds or something. And people say, do you want to play it? There's no cussing in it. You can play it. Go ahead and play it.
Here you go.
We will not be silent. We will not obey. We will not allow our government to destroy our humanity. We are the final American revolution. See you next Independence Day.
Looks like something somebody made for like a class.
I know it's not just his usual quality of video production.
It's just one guy, it's him, and he's saying we. Who's the we? You got a turd in your pocket? I mean, what's up, Kokesh?
I've always said that I don't really like his radio show. It's not even a radio show, it's a podcast. He calls it a radio show. I don't really like his radio show. But I can never, ever complain about his Man on the Street videos because they're right on, and he gets great contradictions out of statists and shows their contradictions on camera and sometimes convinces them not to be contradictive. But I guess if the only man on the street in the Adam Kokesh video is Adam Kokesh, it doesn't really work as well. And
well, it's not a man on the street, and it's a stand-up. That's what we call it in the news business, a stand-up. It's a stand-up with stand-up. Adam Kokesh.
And I guess there was a cameraman. I don't think it was a tripod thing, but...
there's a pan in there.
People complain about this. Our only complaint about it is... I don't know what it means. I don't know if it's effective. I don't know what it means. I don't know what the last line of... See you next July 4th. Does that mean there'll be 1,000 men with shotguns? And first of all, no war was ever won with a shotgun. As Boston Tea Party says, no war was ever won with a handgun. Even third world revolutions, they're won with rifles. Rifles give the range and accuracy and power to win wars. But so, yeah, he took a shotgun down there and loaded it. Now, someone made a video, a hater video, that claims to expose the fact that they say there's no trigger in this shotgun. And it kind of looks like he's right, although the video's kind of dark. And he lightens it up and says that it's proof that it was shot in the afternoon, which I don't know how that would denigrate Adam at all, because, I think it'd be more of a stand to do it in the afternoon in the light of day. I think it was either done at 6 p.m. or 6 a.m. because you can see a clock tower in the background and it says 6 o'clock.
Could be a broken clock tower.
Ah, in D.C. Mm. Well, that would explain something too, because at this time of year in D.C., it's pretty light out at 6 a.m. or 6 p.m. The sun's been coming up at like 4 something, man. And in D.C., I lived in D.C. I remember this time of year being woken up, that was back when I went to sleep at 6 a.m. And like, I remember the squint of dawn starting at 4 something. So
yeah,
I don't think it was, I don't know. It wasn't white balanced for one thing. You know, the video was like really dark.
It's bluish.
Yeah. And when it's lightened, it does look like daylight, but any nighttime or dusk video does, dawn or dusk video, twilight video does.
Yeah. I guess I don't care. I don't care if it's fake or if it's real. It's irrelevant to me. The concept in the hater video that any video editor would know that it's darkened at the beginning and then gets light. Well, that could be the camera. It could be an auto iris. It could be a bad cameraman using a manual iris and turning it the wrong way at the wrong time.
So the guy's wrong in saying any video editor would know that, because you and I are both have made our living at various points doing video editing, and you for a major news outlet. So I would say you're experienced enough and enough of an expert to be called into the Liberty Court as an expert. What say you, expert?
What say? Yeah, I don't know. I don't see it as conclusive evidence that this is fake. I don't even know what it means by it being fake. His main point seems to be that there's no trigger on the shotgun, but I still think you'd get in trouble in Washington, D.C. for a triggerless shotgun. Plus, a cop, 100 yards away looking at you, carrying and loading a shotgun, isn't going to be able to see the trigger anyway and not going to care.
I think you could get shot in D.C. for loading a fake shotgun on the street.
Yeah.
I really think so. And, so it wasn't a puss-puss move. It was a bold move. We just don't know what the point was. I guess the point was, well, we canceled the march, but I still did it, or something like that. But there's there were some comments in Kokesh's video saying they thought it was green screened or blue screened, you know, which basically means he took a background, video filmed background, filmed at a previous point. Like, basically, you go down to D.C., you put a tripod on a camera, you don't bring a gun, you film, 60 seconds of the street of, the actual just what's going on there, nothing at that time of day. And then you, in editing, you film yourself with a shotgun in front of the green screen, and then you use a chroma key in editing to remove the background color and insert yourself there. It's done all the time. I mean, when you look at the weather map, you've been in studio. To explain how this works, what's really going on when you're in the
guy standing in front of the weather map isn't standing in front of an actual graphical image of the weather map. He's standing in front of a green or blue, or I've even seen gray, like a weird colored gray screen. And they call it the chroma screen. And you just stand in front of it and you point to things. And the weatherman is looking at a screen that has him on it. And it's kind of backwards. So it's a skill to be able to point to things counterintuitively. And so people are saying the Kokesh video could be green screened. I kind of don't think so. It looks real enough to me with the zoom, unless they had some really clever editing to make it look, because it kind of zooms out and everything stays.
It could be done still, but is it too soon to say that we used the green screen at your work for the Guns and Weed movie and we did it at 4 a.m. when no one was there and did guerrilla filmmaking?
Yes, too soon. Too soon. We'll be back.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon. Your house
is your property. Howdy, I'm Ben Stone from the Bad Quaker Podcast. I'll teach you the difference between the government and the state, why the government is nothing without the state, and how to dissolve the state while remaining peaceful and even calm. I knew the state was a losing proposition decades before that was cool. Check out the Bad Quaker Podcast at badquaker.com. We have a forum and it's got gardening tips. That's badquaker.com.
Yeah, it's the Freedom Fiends live Saturday show. It is July 6th. Yeah, man, pretty much in the middle of the year.
Yeah.
So we were talking about Adam Kokesh and his one-man open carry stand in Washington, D.C. Sounds like he could be a villain in an upcoming video game, Rainbow Six Patriots, which apparently calls on you, the player, to stop homegrown terrorist threats. And the big moral question in the game is, do you kill civilians to save perhaps hundreds of lives? Ugh. Do you kill local patriots for the greater good? Do you?
The SPLC had something to do with this game. The Southern Poverty Law Center, the evil, evil organization that's now part of the government advising Department of Homeland Security on everyone that should be considered a threat, which is would definitely include anybody who's listening to this radio show and hasn't turned it off by now. I mean, if you believe in liberty, you are a threat, according to big sis Janet Napolitano. And, yeah,
well,
man.
It's also isn't it based on a Tom Clancy book series? So was there a whole book?
Or I don't think there was a whole book. Book. I think he attached his name to this and got paid to it and signed off on it and probably did a little advising on it. Which is interesting because John Milius, who wrote Red Dawn and part of Apocalypse Now, Two great movies that I can't find any fault in. And, you know, Red Dawn is, it could happen. And I cheer for the kids in it, the Wolverines in it. And Apocalypse.
It could happen, but I don't think the socialists attacking America would be from Cuba or from North Korea. They'd be from Washington, D.C.
Yeah. Well, yeah, like in this video game. You know, I like John Milius, and I think he's a good guy, and I think Tom Clancy, he's a great writer. He has a great understanding of military history and military hardware. He's a horrible statist. He's always, and he calls himself a patriot. And it's interesting that in this, the patriots are the enemies, but, you know, it's the patriots. It's basically the rifle strokers. The when they come and take my guns, I'm going to shoot them, which, you know, I don't see anything unethical about that. If they're shooting at you to shoot back, and we've said that before, you'll get killed. But there's nothing unethical about it. But the so-called patriots in this video game, I watched the teaser for it on YouTube. It is, they are not our kind of people, and they are not any people I've ever heard of or met. They are people who, like, it almost seems like the Occupy Wall Street patriots, terrorists. I mean, the thing opens with, like, some guy in a beautiful house kissing his beautiful wife, and then the door is kicked in, and the patriots come in and take him hostage, and take him and his wife and his baby hostage, and they're going to blow them up because this guy made a lot of money on the housing bubble. That's his crime, which is ridiculous, man. That's not so ethical.
They're trying to conflate people who are upset with the current state of affairs with terrorists is basically what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
Well, it's just awful. And then it sets up that dichotomy that if you're not pro-government, you're going to take up arms and kill fellow citizens, and you're going to be a terrorist. And it just sets up a horrible scenario that I don't think is based in reality at all.
Yeah. And the only redeeming quality, if I could find one, of this whole thing is the enemy, the patriots, the homegrown patriots in this. It's a bunch of white guys with shaved heads and a black guy with a shaved head. So they're not trying to say those people are racist because they have a black guy on their team. So that's the only thing I can find about it. Now, if you want to see a good video game where you're basically playing, instead of playing the government trying to stop these bad guys, you're basically playing the other team, the patriots, and the government and foreign invaders are your enemies. Check out Homeland, which John Milius attached his name to, or Homefront. Is it Homefront or Homeland? Homefront. It's a video game where basically society has collapsed and you and a bunch of citizens fight the invading army. You're not fighting the government, but basically the government has abandoned you. It's kind of like Red Dawn. And it's a really good video game. I'm not a video gamer, but I've played some on that game, and I've looked at the ad for this game. And Homefront, thumbs up, whatever this thing's called. What's it called?
The game Rainbow Six Patriots.
Patriot Team 6, yeah.
If you will, yeah.
Yeah. It's horrible, man. It's horrible. And it's just part of the propaganda to try to make people who don't like the government look like Al Qaeda or something. That's what they're trying to do now, basically. And right. While they're doing that, while the government's trying to make, you know, people who like the Constitution or people who don't love paying taxes or trying to make us all look like Al Qaeda, at the same time, that our same federal government is arming Al Qaeda, literally, with the Syrian rebels. Literally.
Literally. Yeah, exactly. And at the same time, they're spying on everybody. And at the same time, they're throwing people in jail for just saying things on Facebook, other video gamers. That's another video game related story.
We'll get to that when we get back. And, you know, Snowden said something really cogent. He said, your government isn't afraid of me because I already did it. They're afraid of you. They're afraid of the next person that might do it. And they're going to try to use him to make an example.
They sure are. And we'll have more fiends.
More fiends.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range.
Love the fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a torrent club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes.
That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
It's the Freedom Fiends live. Thanks for sticking with us. I'm Nima Vidotti here in Austin, Texas. We've also got Michael W. Dean out there in rural wild Wyoming.
Yes.
What'd it do, Mr. W. Dean?
Man, I think I smoked too much bison hair. I don't know. You might have to do show for a while.
Yeah, you got to stay away from the gravity bong, man. Yeah, just stick with the blunt wraps, all right? For real. So apparently, major video game developers are just fine
I'm hallucinating that Native Americans are shooting arrows at my property for some reason.
Are they circling the wagons?
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
I have to get my triggerless shotgun, because that's how we do it. That's how they do it in California and D.C.
Do they really? Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, man, if you're Ubisoft or some big video game developer, you can make games where you shoot American citizens, and that's your job, and that's your moral dilemma, is how many American citizens do you shoot? But if you're an American citizen, just some kid playing a video game, and you make a joke, you can be thrown in prison for terrorist threats. And the first of these stories was in Texas. It was a Texas teenager, Justin Carter, playing one of those online multiplayer fantasy things called League of Legends. And he made a joke. It was so much so a joke that after making this comment, he wrote LOL and JK, which obviously means laughing out loud and joking. But he said, oh yeah, I'm real messed up in the head. I'm going to shoot a school full of kids, quote, is what he said. And then he wrote LOL JK, you know, joking.
Just kidding.
Some lady in Canada, just kidding. Ah, okay. There you go.
You don't
just
know
kidding.
What that is.
I didn't know. Same thing, man. It's shorthand. It's shorthand for it's not real. It's a joke. Get your head out of your butt. Stop taking it so seriously. But this Canadian woman was so far up there that she saw the post and looked up this dude's address in Austin, realized that it was near an elementary school, and then called the popo. Now, how does that work? Somebody from Canada can call a local police department in America
and
report somebody?
Everybody's near a school now, too, which is why they tried to pass a law. I think there is still a law that you can't carry guns in some states if you're within 500 feet of a school. Now, I think that a concealed carry permit overrides that, and I think there was a Supreme Court ruling on it. But, you know, they can't really just take all the guns away, but they can make them so you have to put so much care into carrying them that you're going to be a criminal no matter what. I mean, try going anywhere in your town without going 500 feet in front of 1,000 feet, it was, in front of a school. You are going to have to route yourself to, like, Outer Drive to go across town. I mean, you can't do it. Mm-hmm. That's because they've embedded innocence everywhere and taken over everything, including schools, to the point where, you know, we got to think of the children. You can't be a human being near schools. So, yeah.
Yep. And this isn't an isolated incident. Another teen in Mississippi, pretty much the same story, although the video game was RuneScape. And the person who reported the person who reported him almost had a sense that this would happen. They kind of goaded
the
kid
who was
playing RuneScape.
He set him up. He basically tell what he did. He pushed him into it and then said after the kid said some you know, normal video game play, like, yeah, I'm going to kill everybody. I mean, that's how you play those games, from what I understand. You know, it's what they do. And you made a really cogent point saying, like, yeah, the companies can do this all day long, but when one of the players does it, they end up in a tank. And what happened was some kid goaded the other kid into saying something and then said, knock, knock, which by that he meant they're going to come to your door.
He meant, I reported you. The cops are going to come throw you in prison.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get the most ruby points in the game.
Yes.
And I'll be the winner.
The winner of Bone Storm.
Whatever they do.
Or Virgin Quest or whatever. Pimply-faced teen domination of the world quest.
this is another good proof of how whatever they say the law is supposed to be, even the Supreme Court, it doesn't matter, man. The goons are going to enforce what laws they want, when they want, on who they want. I mean, I thought the Supreme Court said speech, even calling for violence, is okay as long as it can be countered by further speech. Now, obviously, these kids didn't go out and buy guns or ammo. They didn't have a game plan of how they were going to blow up the school or whatever. They just made these offhand remarks.
Talking smack.
So obviously that can be, in the Supreme Court's language, countered by more speech, i.e. you're full of crap, or that's just a joke, obviously.
Yeah, and progressives would hear this and probably say, you know, agree with us of like, well, yeah, evil corporations can get away with this, but people can't. But, you know, it's not just that they're corporations or big companies or have money. It's also that they're basically a part of the government. I mean, this is propaganda produced by the government or in conjunction with the government. It's the update of Dragnet, the 70s, 60s and 70s and 50s radio and TV show that was produced in conjunction with the LAPD. Now, I want to talk about Dragnet. Unless you got more on this video game, I think I said my piece on it.
No, I'm done with the video games. I had another direction to take it, but we can talk more about Dragnet. Did you have something new on it?
Yeah, I've quit watching it. I was watching it as camp because it was really funny, but it really broke my heart. There was one episode that was just so out there and directly led to the problems now of a cop on every corner and the war on drugs and the people who are going to take away your guns are the same people. There was an episode where there was like a grandpa, an older man comes into the police station and says, I want you to talk to my granddaughter and her, or my daughter and her husband, because they're smoking marijuana. And they're like, the cops are like, well, I wish we could do something about that, but we can't. Which, first of all, says, let's get rid of the Constitution. And he says, and I'm worried for my granddaughter. They smoke pot and they have a daughter, and it's my granddaughter, and I love her, and I want to get her taken away by the state so I can have her, which is horrible. And basically they say, well, you know, until they do something wrong, we can't do anything about it, which basically says we need pre-crime laws. And this was, you know, national TV show that everyone watched and tuned into every Friday night or whatever. And then what happens is the police do go to the house, you know, ask to come in and talk to them. And it's like a beautiful house, a beautiful couple. The guy has a great job in computers, which was rare in 1967. They're loving parents. There's nothing wrong with this scene, except they smoke a little pot once in a while. And what happens is I can see, like, I'm like, this is going somewhere bad. They have a pot party and the police somehow find out about it and break into the door, and the parents are passed out from smoking reefer sticks, and the baby has drowned in the bathtub because they weren't paying attention, which is ridiculous, man. Half of California, including someone who may be a few feet away from me right now, half the parents in California raised their kids while smoking weed and didn't drown them, you know? I mean, literally, like, everybody in California who grew up there right now, their parents probably smoked weed. And they may vote stupid, they may have stupid opinions, but they didn't drown. So it was just, it was like reefer madness, but far worse, because reefer madness was campy, and this was, like, really serious. It was like, that's what happens. Even if you have a perfect home, and you're a loving parent, and have a great job, and you're attentive, you're going to smoke the reefer sticks, and your kid's going to drown. That's what they're saying. I just, like, turned it off, snapped it off, and said, I'm done with this. It's not funny.
Yeah,
man.
It's retarded. And by the same logic that the show puts forth, you should ban bathtubs or water for that.
Absolutely.
Instance. Water makes people drown. You shouldn't have any water in your house.
Absolutely. But the episode before that, there was something kind of funny. And this is kind of the reason that I would watch Dragnet. There was this juvenile delinquent that they were hassling at some school. He was actually a real criminal. He had stolen things. And interestingly, he made an argument of, like, you know, of why it was okay to smoke steel was because, you know, they say pot's bad for you and it's not, which we've said before is, like, people complain about the morality of the youth today. A lot of it is the fault of laws, because when you outlaw weed, which shouldn't be a crime and doesn't hurt people, people go, well, weed's illegal and so stealing, so I guess I should steal because that's not bad either, because pot's illegal and it's, you know, basically stealing is absolutely wrong and you shouldn't do it. But today's youth get mixed messages because things are illegal that shouldn't be. But this kid,
yeah, government law is inconsistent, and kids pick up really well on hypocrisy.
Yep.
And it just discredits everything the state tells you not to do, because a lot of the things they tell you not to do are perfectly okay, and a lot of the things they would have you do are horribly wrong, like going overseas and killing people for no reason.
Yeah. Yeah. And but there was this juvenile delinquent punk said something really funny at one point. He said, "You gonna arrest us, Mr. Fuzz, or not? Or are you just gonna bore us to death? You're interrupting our education. With you yammering on, how are we ever gonna grow up to fight wars or pay taxes?" It's like the kid nailed it, man.
That's what they want you for, man.
That's what they want you for, is to grow up, fight wars, or pay taxes. And it wasn't "and pay taxes," because, you know, the taxes pay for the wars. But you made a point of, like, soldiers pay taxes anyway, and you never understood that. But why do you think that is? You think there's a reason for that?
It hit me the other day. Some people that we know were talking to us, and these are people who all of their income is state income. It's disability and retirement pay from state service. And they told us, "Oh, well, we pay for those welfare moms. We pay for that Medicare." And I'm thinking, you don't do anything. You don't get any productive income. All of your income comes from the state. But that's why they do it, I think. I think that that's why they tax things like pensions and military pay and cop pay, and all these people who get a paycheck directly from taxpayers, they still tax them so that those people can complain about the welfare moms. And so those people can say, "Well, I'm a taxpayer," instead of I'm a tax parasite.
Divide and conquer. Yeah. And we're not in favor of welfare. I'd like to see it wiped away entirely. But welfare mothers, those welfare mothers, the amount of money, all of them together combined, is such a drop in the bucket compared to the military-industrial complex. And you know, you can go on July 4th and have your barbecue and say, "America, love the flag." But, you know, that is keeping in place the system that makes your guns obsolete and is going to be the people that take your guns away. It makes your guns obsolete because they're going to argue at some point, man, the Second Amendment is archaic. I mean, that was when we needed a militia and we needed people to protect. But now we have that to protect and serve you to death.
Yeah, yeah, it's the quartering of the soldiers. And speaking of quartering of the soldiers, did you see this lawsuit in Nevada? These police officers were trying to do a stakeout on a house, apparently for something as simple as domestic violence. They went into the neighbor's house and said, "Hey, we want to commandeer your house and use it for a stakeout."
It caused violence.
Yeah, the people in the house, the neighboring house, said, "No, we're busy. We've got a lot to do today. We don't have time to enable your stakeout." And the cops got together, and according to the lawsuit, they conspired to forcibly arrest these people to get them out of their house so that the cops could steal the house for the stakeout. And they threw the guy on the ground, they pointed guns at him, and according to the guy that they ripped out of his house, they also shot pepper ball rounds at him and his dogs. He's suing them on the Third Amendment.
Yeah, and I was talking about that not too long ago about no one ever talks about the Third Amendment. They consider it archaic. It's about quartering soldiers. But I think that just the police industrial complex is quartering soldiers in your neighborhood. So, yeah.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. That proves you're smarter than most people.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another.
But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
Hey, yo, welcome back to the Freedom Fiends Live. I'm Nima Vidotti. We've also got Michael W. Dean.
Hello.
And it is our last segment of today. So we're going to go ahead and do the Freedom Fiends Tweak and Review. Yeah. And so we'll start with number one. Quote, public policy type words are nothing but airbrushing barbarity or barbarism. I don't really know the right way to. I guess you can use both interchangeably there. But Richmond.
I would sum that up as state speech is hate speech. And you can buy that button.
That's pretty much it.
There's a button the Fiends have. It's state speech is hate speech. And we also have a new button, which is buy sheep for sheep on sheep. It's a picture of a sheep and someone's writing "We the Sheeple" on it, which is the fact that the Constitution is written on sheepskin, not hemp, sheepskin. Sheep.
Yep. Yep. But things like deficit spending, nah, it's stealing from the unborn. Quantitative easing, nah, it's printing money. Civil forfeiture, nah, it's theft of your money for no reason.
Arrest in the drug war, it's kidnapping.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's a home invasion. It's generally a home invasion and a kidnapping and then holding you for ransom in some way or another, basically.
Yeah, exactly. So don't take no truck with people who use those fancy words and try to act like they're smart. They're smart at convincing you that you need to remain a slave. It's our job as the Fiends and as good liberty lovers everywhere to not let them get away with it, to use real words that mean real things and explain real actions. Language is the most important thing. It's a tool, though. You know, it can be used for evil or for good, and we're using that tool for good in the good tradition of George Orwell, showing how the state co-opts language for tyranny. We're doing the opposite of that. So next on that point is we used an example of the way two different news outlets explained the American getting the European stooges of the empire to force the plane down of Bolivian President Evo Morales. And the Fox News one said his plane was rerouted. The Guardian, of course, said it was air piracy and the plane was forced down and the guy was confined in his plane for 14 hours. How awful. And, you know, I don't love any politician. I think all politicians are cut from the same evil cloth, and so I'm not trying to say Evo Morales is a good guy, but this is a horrible action, and the way to explain it is just think, you know, as John Pilger said in the Guardian article, if this happened to a French plane, or like Michael said, think if Air Force One was forced down by Venezuelan Air Force or the Brazilian Air Force. Think about the hubbub, and think about the consistency you need to think about these foreign actions with. All right. So the next point, the government is afraid of you, like Edward Snowden says. They say he's aiding the enemy. Well, all he did was aid the American public by explaining to them that the NSA is constantly spying on you, knows everything about you, and it doesn't even really consider him that much of an enemy anymore. He's already done his duty. He's given us his service, and we thank him for it. They want to use him as an example to prevent these kinds of leaks, quote, as they call it, from happening again. And then on sort of a similar tip, free speech and terrorism imprisonment, man. So that's what it's come to, is they've been throwing teenagers in jail for talking mess with regard to video games to other gamers. That's the state of the First Amendment right now. The Supreme Court has said in the past that as long as speech can be countered by other speech, even if it's calling for violence, it's still okay, as long as there's not action behind it. And I can't think of anything with less action behind it than sitting on a couch or in a computer chair playing RuneScape or Minecraft or whatever you people do. But if the state doesn't like it, man, they'll throw you in prison anyway, regardless of the Constitution that people say will save us, and regardless of what the Supreme Court says, which people give so much weight to these men in dresses. Those men in dresses aren't the ones that come to your door with guns. They're not the ones that put handcuffs on you, man. So quit giving them so much credit. All right. And the people who do come to your door, throw you in the cage, point the guns at you, shoot you and your dog with pepper balls. Those are the cops. And as we can see, they are the quartered soldiers among us. And it's good to see somebody actually suing them on Third Amendment grounds. That's happening in Nevada for a dude who basically got his home invaded, kicked out of it so the cops could use it for their stakeout because the guy didn't want to cooperate. He's suing those cops now on Third Amendment grounds, saying that the soldiers, i.e. the cops, were quartered in his home. Good, and we'll be back with more fiends.
I wish him luck.
Mañana. I do too.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Make an appointment to listen while it's still legal. Learn more about the Fiends and download archived shows at freedomfiends.com. That's FreedomFeens.com.